The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. Well, her eyesight wasn't fooling her. It was fruit. And by the way, the reason why they always show an apple in the art for the forbidden fruit is because in Latin, the word for apple is malum, and the adjective for bad is malus, mala, malum. And so it was a long-standing pun since the early 400-500s. I like them, sorry. I'll move along. So that whole visual thing of it appeared good to eat. You know, my brothers and sisters, very often we are myopic. That is, we can only see things that are right in front of us. We don't have a kind of a distance view. We don't have a long-term view sometimes, and we need to have that. We need to have a better view of what's going on. That is how Adam and Eve first fell, of course. There was that attractiveness of the fruit, just it being healthy in appearance. But again, only in appearance. And then Adam and Eve did not see through what the devil was trying to do in regards to saying, oh, you'll get the knowledge of good and evil like God. Oh, they found out what evil was like. And now you and I know from the very heart of our being what evil is like because we have a weakened will. We still desire what's good, but sometimes we desire what's good at the wrong time in the wrong place and maybe something that's not meant for us. And so we've experienced that disorderness of evil. You and I can be tempted in the same way, where we tend to be focused a little bit more on the here and now, what's right before us, as opposed to what we should really be looking at. Can consider the temptations of the devil for Jesus. The first one, he's hungry, he's been fasting. And as we all know, that for some reason, cheeseburgers are never as attractive as on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. They aren't until that day. Until they are forbidden fruit, and on the Friday specifically of Lent. But again, notice what Jesus does. He's being tempted to use his power for selfish gain. And his response, one does not live on bread alone, but on the very word that comes forth from the mouth of God. He's not just thinking about the next meal. He's not just thinking about the next desire. He is thinking about the eternal word of God and that source from which the truth comes, God. You and I have to have that same outlook, not just looking at what's right before us, not just looking at our immediate needs, desires, wants, but really thinking, what does God want me to hunger for? What does God want me to really learn, to know? Not just knowledge, not just experimenting with things. Oh, I've always wanted to know what that's like, but really knowing what God is like. Notice the second temptation, a temptation to basically ask Jesus to force God to help him. It's kind of like a false trust. And again, taking him up to the parapet, Jesus obviously allowed, you know, this to happen. And that would have been the corner, that would have been the southwest corner of the temple from which they would have blown the shofar, the goat horn, call to prayer. And here he is at the highest point, really, because that was the lowest point on the ground. He would have died if he would have gone all the way down. But that test of God's trust. Again, you and I can have a similar kind of test. Will we trust in God's grace? Will we trust in his plan for us? Do we really trust that God is going to be there to assist us in a moment of need? Will we trust God to help us? Do we trust God that His law is meant for our happiness? And again, sometimes we put God to the test. We don't really want to trust Him, but instead, we end up trusting our own strength, our own judgment, somebody else's opinion, or we have that idea of, well, I'll sin now and go to confession later. We need to serve our Lord. We need to make sure that we are trusting God. Again, the long-term view says God is the one who started the universe. He's got everything in His power. I think I can trust Him. It's not just the moment, but that long-term view. And then, of course, that idea of all of the kingdoms of the world, you know, they're going to turn to dust. The power goes away. When a person dies, somebody else takes the reins. We can't take money with us, as we all know. We know of countless civilizations and maybe others. We have no idea what happened. But those civilizations were once great and are no more. But what continued? The souls of every member of that civilization. That's the long-term view. Look, I would love it if America would stay strong forever. I would love it if we stayed free forever, a beacon of hope. But every civilization has gone south. What I know is that you have immortal souls. I have one. And no matter what happens with the nation, we need to make sure that our choices are for immortality. That they are not just for the history books, for the glory of a nation, but for the glory of God. That is the long-term view. Eternity. So my brothers and sisters, I invite you to think through different situations in your life, not just dealing with sin, but dealing with your role, dealing with your vocation. As parents, do we sometimes only focus on the report card? Do we only focus on how they're doing at sports? Or are we really thinking about shaping immortal souls? Souls, yes, that will choose for themselves if they will know and love and serve God, but the help that you and I can give them, that can have an eternal impact. That isn't just whether or not they're building skills, which again are important, but which one is the most important? Growing in faith, hope, and love. The same thing with the reason for us forgiving, for us continuing on to try to strengthen our marriages. It's because our marriages reflect God's love for us, faithful. Do we take the short-term approach of having been ignored, having been hurt, feeling in some way slighted, not being respected or supported? Those might be true. None of us are perfect. Adam and Eve were not supporting each other at the time they needed it in the Garden of Eden. But what's the long-term view? Helping each other get to heaven. Helping each other to grow in virtue and being reflective of Christ's faithful love, even when there is sin. And that, in so many ways, we need to stop just looking at what's right before us and ask God to help us to see with the eyes of faith the goal of sanctity, the goal of being able to transform what's around us into growing in grace and trust in Almighty God.